You know, graduation season is in the air. We celebrate those today. I know there's baccalaureate services this afternoon at several schools. There was some yesterday. And over the next week, as these graduations take place, they'll be celebrating accomplishments in academics. And they've passed a series of tests, preparing themselves not only academically, but socially, and ready to move to the next step, on to college, on to the workforce, into the military, wherever it is that next step is. And I think every one of us that have been through that would tell you that along the way, there are some ups and there's some downs. There's times in life where things are going your way. There's times in life when things are not going your way, when things seem to be falling apart, and you ask the question, what do I do now? What's next? Where do I go from here? We've all asked those kind of questions. The key is to stay moving forward, moving towards those destinies despite having questions. You know, the questions that I'm going to try to help you answer today, questions like, where do I go from here? What do I do next? What about my old friends? What about my, will I make new friends? What does God want me to do? We've all asked ourselves that question one time or another. Lord, what do you want me to do? Sometimes we ask that question in prayer. Sometimes we ask that question with our hands thrown up in the air saying, God, what now? We've all been there. Here's what I want to say. The honest truth is those questions will never stop. And we'd like to think we get to a point in life where we've got most of the questions answered. Truth is, the questions of life never stop. Sometimes the questions of life get bigger and they get harder. And I think almost everybody here today that's over about 50 or 60 years old can testify to the fact that the questions that you have to answer now are probably harder than the questions you had to answer when you were 15 or 20 years old. Some of the hardest questions in life are end-of-life questions. Those times when a loved one, maybe their mind has gone, but their body continues to work. I know in our family, one of the hardest times and hardest questions we had to face was what to do when Sheila's dad had his last heart attack. He had in his will what he wanted, but it still wasn't easy to make an end-of-life decision. Turn off a machine. Those are hard questions. Life doesn't always decide it's going to be easy. You know, it's not easy when someone loses their spouse of 50 years, go to be with the Lord, and they're left with the question, what do I do now? Those are not easy questions, but those are real questions. Those are the kind of questions that life throws at you. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is when you get right down to it, life, whether you're graduating this year, whether you graduated 50 years ago, life is a series of tests and questions that never stop. This morning, as we evaluate where we are on our journey, I think there are things that should be, that we can ask ourselves today that will help us along the way. Questions help you as you face those questions of the future. Number one, who are we serving? Number two, who are we following? And number three, who are we seeking honor from? I'd like for Mark to put the passage of Scripture that's going to be our main verse up this morning. It comes from John chapter 12, verse 26, and it says this, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. You know, this passage of Scripture comes from a bigger passage where Jesus is saying the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. His hour, his time of death is near. And he talks about unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies and remains there alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. He's trying to show the disciples that things are about to get a lot more difficult for him. But in the midst of that, he wants them to know, if you want to serve me, you've got to follow me. If you want to serve me, you got to follow me. You know, I look around this morning, And the graduates this morning were from several different schools. They had several different interests. A lot of things were different. They were raised in different homes. They had been given different gifts, different abilities, different likes, different dislikes. But all of us, every one of us here today, I don't care how old you are, I don't care where you came from, there is one thing we all have in common. It is a single thread that is sewn through every human being that has ever taken a breath on this earth. And that common thread is our life's calling. We are all called to serve Jesus. Nobody who is ever born has said, "That's not my calling." If you take a breath on earth, your calling is to serve Jesus. It's what we were placed on earth to do. And we do it in a number of ways. You can do it in class. You can do it on the court. You can do it at work. You can do it in hospitals. You can do it in doctor's offices. You can do it in nursing homes. You can do it in churches. 1,000 other places. But it's what this journey of life is all about. Serving Jesus. We are a body of servants this morning. That's all the church is. We are a body of believers who have come together because we believe it is our common calling to serve Jesus. And at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, we, like Paul, would want to say something like, you remember what Paul says? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. What was he saying? He wasn't fighting. He wasn't running. At the end of his life, he says this about his life: I have served the Lord faithfully. It's what he was made to do. It's what you were made to do. It's what I was made to do. And we serve him by following him. Whoever serves me must follow me. You remember when Jesus walked the earth, he went around looking for those disciples, those people who wanted to follow him. You remember he come by the seashore and he saw a bunch of them out fishing, and he said to them these words: follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then later he would tell them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. You know, following him involves a couple of things. Number one, it involves a master. We need an example. Jesus was saying to them, I'll be your example. I'll show you how. We need not only a master, we need a directive. That directive is to live as Jesus lived. And it comes with a decision. We've got to decide to do it. Those guys could have stayed in the boat. Sometimes I wonder why they didn't. Jesus was radical. He wanted life change. He wanted them to, you know what? We can't serve without following him. And when he first met Peter, you know, Peter's there on the sea. He's a fisherman. He comes by and he calls Peter and he says, to follow me. What made Peter go? Because going meant leaving his boats, leaving his business, leaving his family. To do what? To go where? Who knew? But two words drew him in: follow me. You know, this morning, Landon was here in the first service. And I asked him, I said, you didn't have any idea when you said yes to Jesus that you would end up half a world away, did you? No. We don't know where follow me leads us. We don't know what follow me may mean 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It simply means that the Master has a purpose for our life. Now, Peter thought he knew what he was doing. When Peter got out of that boat that day, let me tell you what Peter thought. Peter says, this guy right here is going to overthrow the Roman government. He's going to set us free. I'm in. You be the general, I'll be the lieutenant, and let's get after it. You remember, Peter always was like that. Peter's the one that'd whack off a guy's ear, you know, in the garden. He was ready to fight. He was a man looking for a cause. Jesus was his cause. And you know what? We're going to overthrow the Romans. He thought he knew. So I'm going to ask Mark to put up the next verses. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 27. We'll go to 26. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And looky here, there he is. Jumped right into the answer. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that Peter, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Man, ding, 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 Peter, you have got it. Woo, you're rolling. You know what's going on. Let's continue on. "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, it's a key moment right there, key phrase. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised from the dead. Uh-oh. That's not part of the plan. Peter took him aside. "Lord, follow me, general, lieutenant. This is not how it's going to work." And he began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." We'll go ahead and stop it right there. "This shall never happen to you." Peter only thought he knew what he signed up for. When Jesus began to show him what he had signed up for, Peter's like, "No. God's plan, Peter's plan. Different things." Peter failed the test. It wouldn't be the only test he'd fail. You know, as time would pass and go and move forward, not only did Peter fail that test, Peter would even deny knowing Jesus. When he was accused by the fire of being one of his disciples, Peter, "Oh, no, no, not me. You've got me mixed up with somebody. I don't even know this Jesus fellow you're talking about." And he failed that test. And then when Jesus was crucified, do you remember what Peter did? He got back on the boat. Strike three. He failed test one. He failed test two. Peter, the rock, Jesus' right-hand man, didn't always make the right choices. Peter did his own thing on occasion. Does that ring a bell with any of y'all? You ever do your own thing? You're following the Lord, and the Lord's got a plan, and you go, that's not really what I want to do. God, I want to do this, and surely you will bless this plan of mine. It makes more sense to me. The plan of Jesus dying did not make sense to Peter. Peter had a different plan. Now, I want you to put that next verse up, if you will, Mark. Verse 23, I believe. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Wait a minute. Just verses before, Peter, you're the rock. Let me tell you what this tells me. We live in the middle of spiritual warfare. Every one of us have to follow closely what the Lord desires for us, or it's easy to drift off. It's easy to get turned aside from following the Lord to following our own wants and desires. If it can happen to Peter, it can happen to us. But I want to tell you something this morning. God is a God of second chances, third chances. He's a God of grace. And likewise, we must be people of grace. This morning, you need to understand, whether you're a young person or whether you're older, failure is a part of life. I'll be honest with you. High school was so easy for me that if I had 5 tests tomorrow, I would get at the end of the day and think about taking books home. 5 tests today? No, let's just close it up. I don't want to study today. And be fine. Well, let me tell you, I tried that in calculus. I had gone through trig in college and went like 4 times all semester, made a B. I was satisfied with that. So I go to calculus. I go there and I get the syllabus on the first day of school. I shouldn't tell things like this on myself. I found out when the first test was. Okay, I'll see you then. The night before the first test, I break out the calculus book and I start flipping through it. I'm going, oh man, I don't understand this. I go take that test. Because I was thinking maybe at the time I might be a math major. 1 of 6 or 8 along the way. Oh, man, was that test hard. I got that test back, and it was a 35. And I go, I'm not a math major anymore. You know what? I failed the test. That was my fault I failed the test. Sometimes we do things in life that are our fault. We turn away. We don't follow the Lord like we should. Sometimes we fail because we get discouraged. Sometimes we fail because other people fail us. This morning, what I want you to understand, there are going to be things in your life that sometimes don't work out the way you want them to. Even though you're diligently seeking to follow, you're going to find out this thing right here that I'm going to tell you. Anybody that's lived very long will tell you, life's not fair. Bible never says that life is fair. The question is this, when you fail, when life turns on you, will you continue to follow? You know, one of the things Mark said about graduating seniors is typical, and it's true, especially in smaller churches. When people graduate, they fall out of church. They fail to follow. Don't let that happen. In John chapter 21, verse 17, we said Peter failed. But Jesus, if you remember, he's out back in the boat. He's struck one, struck two, struck three. He's out of there. He's back in the boat doing what he's comfortable with, doing what he did when Jesus found him. He's in the boat that day. He's living with the regret of all the things he's done wrong, and he's out there in that boat, and he sees Jesus on the seashore. And when Jesus talks to him, I don't know, maybe it was excitement. Maybe it was guilt. Maybe, you know, he had a little bit of shame. It was all mixed together. But I get the idea. He jumped out of that boat and he ran as fast to Jesus as he could. And you remember how many times did Peter deny Jesus? 3 times. And do you remember the question that Jesus asked Peter 3 times? Do you love me? Do you love me? I want to tell you something. The question of following Jesus is very simply comes down to that question, do you love me? Because if you love me, you'll follow me. Anytime we find ourselves drifting off from the Lord, we have to ask ourselves this question: do I love you, Jesus? Because if you're drifting away from the Lord, your love for the Lord is drifting too. That's just 100% every time thing. If I'm drifting away from Jesus, I'm drifting away from that. Do I love you? I don't love him like I used to when I'm drifting away. Anyway, Peter had failed Jesus one and three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? The same number of times he denied knowing him. And here, in these questions, in this answer, is where we find that Peter graduated from Jesus' school. He recognized Jesus for who he was. He wasn't the guy who was going to overthrow Rome anymore. He was a humble servant Savior. Peter experienced forgiveness. Jesus didn't chastise him, but he told him this. Remember I said you have to have a master? Jesus was a master, and you have to have a directive or a purpose for your life. Jesus reminded Peter of the purpose of his life when he said these: feed my sheep. Get back to doing what you were made to do. You were made to serve me, Peter. Get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, sometimes God reminds us to get back to what we're supposed to be doing. Like Peter this morning, maybe you need to stop and realize this. Jesus still loves you. Your life is important to God. Maybe you got away and had your own agenda. Peter did. But the Lord told Peter, get back to doing what you were called to do. And those who follow Jesus, let's go back to that first slide, if you will, Mark. John 12:26. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant also will be. And my Father will honor the one who serves me. This week, honors are going to be passed out across the country from graduation to graduation. Academic honors, athletic honors, billions of dollars in scholarships are going to be distributed to people who have worked diligently to achieve their goals. But do you know what the ultimate goal is? The ultimate goal is not to be honored by man, but to be honored by God. To be honored by the God who created us. To be honored by the God who spoke this world and you into existence. To the one who holds all of time in his hand. To the Alpha, to the Omega, to the beginning, to the end. Let him honor you. To be honored by the one who is most honorable. And you know what's going to be awesome one of these days? It's going to be awesome on your graduation day. When we leave this earth, when we step onto the stage of heaven and we hear these words, well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's joy when your Father honors you for your service to him. You know what's going to happen that day? Our graduation cap is going to be a golden crown. And our graduation robe is going to be white as snow, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Instead of throwing our caps in the air in celebration like they'll do this week, we're going to throw our crowns at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in total worship, we're going to sing out, worthy is the Lamb. We're going to proclaim honor and glory and majesty to the King of all kings. That's what we're going to do on our graduation day. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You know, this morning, very simply, the calling upon your life is to serve Jesus. And you serve him by following him. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the first thing that you need to do is to make that decision, to choose to follow Jesus. He told those people in the boat, you know, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll give purpose to your life. Until you know Christ, there is no purpose to your life. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. But like Peter, you've gotten distracted. You've had your own agenda. You've had your own plans. And God's plans have not necessarily matched up with yours. And you've chosen to walk your way instead of his way. Maybe today, like Peter, you need to recognize who Jesus is and come back Because Jesus still loves you. He still has a purpose for you. Because one day, at the end of it all, when it is our graduation day, we want to be honored, not by men, but by God, the creator of it all. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you today that you are a God who has a purpose for our lives, a plan. But sometimes we fail you. Sometimes, like Peter, we stray away or we have our own ideas. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who either doesn't have a relationship with you or maybe they have fallen away in their relationship with you, that you would renew them unto yourself, that they would find forgiveness and restoration, just like Peter did. Lord, I pray for if there's anyone here today who needs to join this church because this is where they need to serve you because you've led them here. Lord, I pray that you would make that known as well. Lord, we just listen for your voice and we respond as you lead us. In Jesus' name we pray.